Today, we are continuing our series in the Gospel of John, and it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Isn't that great? And he is calling us to be part of a great harvest, and he's talking about people, but he wants us to be part of his team or his workers to make a difference in this world for Jesus. I love the little children when they hear that we are supposed to share Jesus with people. They actually do it. Isn't that great? Have you ever thought about that? You actually hear the word of God and you actually do it? What an amazing thought. When my son was quite young, probably five or so, he had heard about the importance of sharing Jesus with people, and he went and shared Jesus with every kid he found in the neighborhood. What an amazing thought. He actually heard what he needed to do, and then he went and did it. And I want you to grab that energetic vision that a child would have, that childlike faith, and say, God, if you've called me to do something with my life, I'm going to do it. You know, no turning back. I am going to follow you. And that means to live for him. So please turn your Bibles to John 4. We're going through the Gospel of John. And we jumped to chapter 20 last Sunday for the Easter service. And then we're coming back to where we left off. John 4, we're going to read 27 through 42. Now, it's a time for a great harvest for Jesus is what we're going to talk about. And let me just clarify, remember the first part of John 4, Jesus went through Samaria on the way to Galilee, and he stops at a well. His disciples go into the village to find some food. That's what men do. They're looking for food. They're hungry, right? Amen. And so Jesus has this amazing conversation with this woman and tells her all kinds of things about her life and offers her living water. She is so excited. The Messiah has come, she believes. She goes back to her village to tell the rest of the people. Okay, so that's where we start in the story. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word, John 4. And we're going to read the whole story here, just verse 27 through 42. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed," read it out loud with me, "the Savior of the world." Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, that you point us to what really matters. You point us to the heart of God, that you have a heart, a love for this whole world. Lord God, what a privilege it is to be part of your kingdom, to be part of your plan. Lord God, show us what that looks like. Open our eyes that we would see the harvest all around us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So we have a very biblical, churchy word that maybe you've heard many times. It's the word evangelism. Oh, I'm not sure I like that word. Boy, does that mean I got to be a missionary or a pastor, or what do I got to do? When I heard that idea in college, I thought, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start going door to door. So I started knocking on doors. I did not have a white shirt and tie on. I didn't think about that. And I just knocked on doors and I said, hi, my name is Phil. Do you know the good news of Jesus? And that was my definition of what it meant to be following God's command to share Jesus with the world. I saw many great opportunities. As a young man, I was able to go to a Billy Graham crusade. I thought, well, maybe that's what it looks like to win the world. And oh my goodness, in Anaheim, there was over 70,000 people in that stadium. They filled not only all the stands, but they also filled the playing field with people. I had the privilege of being one of the counselors down there on the field. We sat down ready to do some counseling. Right next to me was Johnny Erickson Tata. She was going to be part of the program. And I thought, what a blessing. This is what it looks like to win the world for Jesus. And then my first date with my future wife, Anita, we were in high school. My dad did not believe in going to the theater, and so there's no way I was going to be able to take her to a movie. And then I heard that there was going to be a movie shown at the local theater called For Pete's Sake. It was an evangelistic movie. Invite your friends to come to a movie that Billy Graham's organization put on. And for Pete's Sake is the first date my wife and I had, sort of kind of official date. I thought, well, that's what it means to win the world, is we got to have a movie and a theater, and maybe people will come and hear about Jesus. And on the story goes. How do we reach this world for Jesus? Is it through a movie or through a crusade, or is it door to door? You know, how does it happen? And I want you to see how it happens through the lens of a farmer. I want you to see it through the lens of a harvest, okay? Because God's word teaches us that doing God's work in God's way is like farming, okay? It's like a harvest work. And so here's how it's going to work. If you want to be part of God's harvest, if you want to be part of doing what God would want you to be doing, if you are looking for a way to share Christ with people, to make a difference for Jesus, I'm going to give you five things to think about today. Number one, you got to see. You got to see things around you different than you have ever done before. You have to see people in a different way. John 4:27. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. Okay, here's a groundbreaking moment for them. A Jewish man did not talk to women in public. We talked about also that Jews and Samaritans do not get along. And here's Jesus talking to a woman. That would never have been on the radar of these 12 Jewish disciples. There's no way they would even think about that as a possibility. This word, verse 27, that they marveled at Jesus. They marveled at him. This means they were not critical or attacking Jesus. It was kind of one of those wow moments that woke them up into a new concept of ministry, where all of a sudden, this is what we do, this is what we always do, this is how we do life, and then Jesus broke the glass and said, I got another thought for you. The normal Jewish response would have been to the Samaritan woman, first of all, hostility to Samaritans. There would have been a coldness toward women. There would have been no effort to talk. There would have been probably silence. Jesus would have just sat there. There would have been minimal effort if they had to have a conversation, because this woman of Samaria was so different than them that they would not see a bridge. They would not see a connection. This is where it starts. If you want to make a difference in the kingdom of Jesus, you have to let him open your eyes to see people, to see situations, to see opportunities maybe that you would never normally think of. So look at verse 28. The woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people. So she had received hope. She had received compassion and love. She had received a revelation of who she was in her journey. She received hope, the offer of living water. The most important thing to this woman, what does she do? Verse 28, she leaves her water jar. Watch that. Something she would never have done. This is my life, my identity. I go to the well. I take care of the water needs of the family. She leaves the water jar. She runs back to town. Why? Because now she is seeing life differently. She is seeing her purpose differently. She's seeing the value of her day differently. It is so much more than a water jar moment. Now, verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? So some people believe this was in the spring of the year, and so people were thinking, well, this is the planting season, this is the preparation season, and harvest time was in the fall, and so we're not going to do harvest for a long time. This is possibly what Jesus was saying. Harvest time, everybody would focus on the harvest. 4 months earlier, they would have very little focus about the harvest. So Jesus says, verse 35, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Here is the moment you need to realize that right now, not someday in the future, not some possibility down the road, that every single day, like Pastor Michael said and Pastor Brian said, every single day, God gives you a fresh opportunity not only to love him, to follow him, but to serve him. You know, when you go to a store, go to Walmart, see the greeter. Have you ever thought about stopping, looking at their face, and using their name and saying, how are you today, Phyllis? You having a good day? Every single harvest opportunity starts with a person seeing that the harvest is right now, right in front of us. Every day, we have what we call divine appointments. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. So I'm looking forward to watching a grandson run track on Thursday, 4 o'clock, Pasco. At 3 o'clock, I get a phone call from KPD. Are you available? There's been a death. We need a chaplain. I'll be right there. And I had a privileged opportunity to walk into a home where a man had been taking care of his mom for many years. She passed away that afternoon, and to speak hope into his life. I did not plan that at the beginning of the day. My plan was a track meet, which, by the way, I did get there finally to see him run, so that was good. But God says, here is the plan. You make yourself available for me to show you how to serve me today. You're going to have opportunities every day. Sometimes it's not getting your big Bible out and saying, let me convert you. Maybe it's something else where you're going to plant a seed of hope or encouragement or love or kindness. I love this amazing quote. It's been around for a long time. Let me read it to you. I shall pass through this world but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do, let me do it now. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. In other words, yes, you might pass on the road at that same, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that moment, that conversation, that person. If God swings the door open to make a difference for Jesus, the question is, can you see that? Do you see it as an open door? Do you see that opportunity? Do you see that person that God wants you to reach out to? That's where it starts. Now, the second thing that happens, number two, is you need to set your priorities. If you're going to make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus, you got to get this figured out. Okay, so jump into the story, verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So in other words, here's this amazing spiritual moment happening between Jesus and this woman. And the disciples show up. Meanwhile, what are we going to eat? You know, well, this is what we brought. We went to McDonald's and some of them were arguing because they wanted to go to Burger King. But we got it all figured out. So Jesus, here's the food. Verse 32. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So just like most men, they don't get what he's talking about right now off the bat because they're still thinking about food. Okay. So disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Obviously, this is the most important thing in front of us is our Burger King sandwich. And Jesus says he's already eaten. Well, somebody else must have gone and got him another sandwich. So what happened? They are stuck on the physical, so they can't see beyond that. Okay, Jesus said to them, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So the disciples have a priority mush, okay? They're thinking physical. They're thinking my needs. I got to take care of me. And they've got, if they're going to make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus, they're going to have to reset their priorities, okay? John 17, 4, Jesus says, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Well, why was Jesus on this planet? Why did he come to this earth? To do the will of the Father. Deuteronomy 8, 3 says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. John 5, 30, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So if you're able to come to Men's Getaway this weekend, I'm going to be speaking three times. Pastor Matthew asked me to share what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so we're going to dig deeper on what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? How do we actually follow Jesus? We talk about being Christ followers. What does that look like? And so the big part of this is if you call yourself a Christ follower, what you're saying is the number one thing on my mind, okay, more important than baseball or my hobbies or what I want to do today or what I got to do to earn money or where I'm going for vacation or planning for retirement or whatever's on your radar, a Christ follower says, today I'm going to look for God's will in my life and I'm going to follow him no matter what. Now, number three in this story, and this is something that many of us miss, number three, is if you're going to be a part of his harvest, you need to understand that his plan is for you to serve with others. Well, you might think, well, I'm a Lone Ranger. I don't really get into that. You better dig deeper into the Bible here with me, because this is how it describes the harvest. Verse 36, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Now, let me clarify. Anytime you read a verse, it might be a little bit confusing. You need to go to other scripture to determine maybe what it's not saying. It is not saying, according to other scriptures, it is not saying that you have to work your way to heaven. You have to do enough stuff here to earn a spot in heaven. That is not what it's saying. We know the Bible is very clear. It's by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So what does he mean when he says receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life? Well, the Bible says that you have physical results by physical activity, but you can also have spiritual results with spiritual activity. And here's the question. When you're in the spiritual focus, what you do is what's going to last for eternity. That's what really matters. If you care about what is valued in eternity, when we get to heaven someday, it's going to be a great harvest party, really what it is. All the prayers you prayed, all the times you gave, all the times you served, all the times you reached out, all the time you showed the love of Christ, all the times that you invited somebody to church or you showed Jesus to them, all of that is going to pile up. And when you get into heaven, there's the harvest. All the people that we touched for Jesus will be sitting there going, thank you. Man, thank you. I couldn't have gotten here without your help. And so he's telling us that this is a great vision to have of this harvest up in heaven. But then he tells us, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. So when we get to heaven, we're going to see the harvest of all the work of God, but then we're going to see, wow, I never saw that person come to know Jesus. How did that happen? And we'll learn that so many other people spoke into their life and helped them. And we thought, wow, we can rejoice together in heaven, because now we see how it all came together, how everybody had a part in that plan to play in the harvest of Jesus. So now what's going on in the story? Jesus starts the harvest moment. He plants some seed into the heart of one woman. He invites her to receive the living water. Okay, so Jesus had a part to play, a very important part to play. But what he's telling them is, look out, you are now about ready to be part of the plan. Okay, if you join me, they see these people running at them. Can you imagine a bunch of 12 Jewish men sitting here and looking at a bunch of Samaritans running straight at them? And you know the Samaritans hate them. And Jesus is trying to get them in focus. You're about ready to be part of the harvest. I planted a seed, and here comes the harvest right at us. And you get to be part of it. John 15, 16. God has appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So last week, man, I was so blessed last weekend, Easter weekend. We had Good Friday and Saturday night service and two on Sunday. I tell you, it was a great time to rejoice if you're a Christ follower. I tell you, how many people were a part of it? Heidi Fisher said it took 75 children's workers last weekend to do the children's program. Thank you for your effort. Music and worship teams, oh my goodness, Pastor Michael and the tech workers, they had quite a weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and two on Sunday. Huge amount of hours. The ushers, the greeters, the coffee ministry, the custodians, the people that helped with the yard and mowed the lawns. And so many of you invited your family and your friends, and we get to see the place full, but I knew how many people had worked behind the scenes. When I walked up to somebody before church and I said, "Tell me your name." "Yeah, it's great. How did you happen to come?" "Oh, well, they invited me. Well, they told me I couldn't miss it. They said we're having brunch afterwards, so we had to come." I mean, it's all kinds of great conversations. But what I saw was that the body of Christ was out there and bringing in. And we could not do it alone. Verse 37, "For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps." You might think you have no part in the kingdom of Jesus. You think maybe that that's for other people. I want to tell you, look closely at that verse. You are part of it. You might be sowing a seed of encouragement or a word, or even just by your example, you're planting a seed that being a Christ follower is a different way of living. Verse 38, "I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." So sometimes, I believe this is a great picture. When somebody comes to know Jesus, it's like ripe fruit just falling in your hand. When the time is right, God has worked in their life. God has worked in their life. People have worked in their life. They've gotten the truth. And all of a sudden, there it is. Okay. And the disciples are going about ready to have this moment. They did not reach out to this woman at the well. They didn't even think about reach. They went to that town and they got food and they didn't talk to one person about Jesus. There's no record that that happened. Not one person came to Jesus because some disciple reached out to them. They are doing their food thing, and they are not caring about the Samaritans. They're not thinking of, they're probably grumbling that they have to even be in that village in the first place because Jesus wanted to go through Samaria, and I don't even know why he wanted to do this. And this doesn't make any sense, and we could have gone a different way. You can just imagine. And so now they bring back the food, and they're all hungry, and now Jesus is inviting them to be part of an amazing outreach. And they're about ready to pick some fruit. These people are running out here and they're going, "We want Jesus. We want to learn about Jesus. We want to listen to Jesus. Point me to Jesus." And these disciples, he's over there. That's it. Probably all they did. And maybe while people were waiting in line to talk to Jesus, "Tell us more about Jesus." And I believe the disciples are invited right out here in this verse. Jesus is saying, "I don't want to do this alone. Please join me. And if you join me, you look at these people as opportunity to reach out to. Guess what? You will have an amazing rejoicing moment. Do you want to be part of the rejoicing of Jesus and the angels in heaven when one sinner repents? Do you want to be part of that or not?" And the disciples go, "Okay." And so all we know is that the next 2 days, they spent time. Verse 38, "I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." So now they get in on the harvest, even though they didn't do anything to bring it about. The Bible's clear. 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth." We all have a place that we can play in the amazing harvest. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a missions auction opportunity. We got four teams of people wanting to go around the world to make a difference for Jesus, but they can't do it alone. They need our financial support. Just buy a ticket and come and just support what they're trying to do. You can be part of their prayer team. If somebody walks up to you and say, will you be in my prayer team? You better say yes if you're a Christ follower, I tell you, because man, we can't do it alone. They're going to be looking for mentors, people that will just encourage them in the process. We, if you're in the body of Christ, your life group, your ministry opportunity, it is always a with others moment. Do not do it alone. Find a team, find people, see your part in the bigger picture. Serve with others. Number four, very important. You might think, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know how to do this thing called evangelism. I don't know what to say. I haven't gone to seminary. I don't know. Okay, here's the good news. Jesus wants you, he wants me to share our story. That's it. Okay, so what is this woman? This woman at the well is not a theologian. She is not a seminary. She has no biblical education that we know of. She has some ideas. She's got kind of confused. But look at what she does in verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? It doesn't even sound very assertive or bold. And she's actually just asking a question. But she is telling them what happened. Look at what goes on next. Verse 30. They went out of the town and were coming to him. Can you just hear those words? She told her story, and I don't know all the words. We just know some of the words. I believe she probably expanded on it some, but she just kind of gets to the point. She invites them to explore the answer to the question, can this be the Christ? In fact, one of the most powerful things you can do if you want to reach somebody for Jesus is to ask them the right questions. Have you ever prayed? They're talking about cancer. They're talking about losing their job. They're talking about hardship with their kids. Hey, have you ever prayed about it? It's a question. Hey, have you ever thought about maybe God helping you with this situation? I mean, if you ask the right questions, what you're doing is you're planting a seed of hope to change direction for their life. So what do they do? Verse 30, I don't know all their jobs. I don't know all that they were doing. You know, they're doing their town thing. But look what happens. They went out of the town and were coming to him. Okay, I'm going to tell you, you guys might not understand this. If you've been surrounded by Christians a lot and you do a lot of church things, you're not in the world very much. Okay, let me tell you some basic principles. Transformed lives are contagious. Okay, if Jesus has transformed you, the world is looking for people that have moved out of the rut of the dark world into the light. Victorious lives are contagious. Did you know that? It's not me, not your abilities. Do you know Jesus has made a difference in my life? Forgiven, now watch this, forgiven sinners are contagious. This woman had so much guilt in her life. I can just imagine. Five husbands. One man she's not married to. Can you imagine the guilt on her shoulders in a religious world? And she is running into town and she is a different woman. Forgiven sinners are contagious. So it says in verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. We're going to have a baptism service coming up in May 7th, and we're going to have opportunity at every baptism. They tell their story. How did Jesus come into their life, and how has Jesus made a difference in their life? Okay, so some of you have been at South Hills for a while. You know that I've taught this several times. All of us have three stories to tell, and you should be prepared to tell all three of these as a Christ follower. Every one of us, we need to have it very clear and thought through ahead of time, what I call the blind man's story. They asked the blind man, what happened? And this is the sentence. Once I was blind, but now I see. That's it. I have nothing to add to that. And there are going to be times in your life journey where you are going to have a window of opportunity to say one sentence. Maybe it's on the phone, or maybe it's in a gathering, or maybe in a party or social gathering. And there's just a window of one sentence. what would you say? Who are you and what is your purpose in life? My one sentence is, I grew up in church, and as a young man, I found a relationship with Jesus. That's it. And you throw that one sentence out, and if God is at work, it'll land, and there'll be maybe further conversation, but maybe not even then. Maybe it'll be much later. Everybody needs a blind man story. Number two, everybody needs a Paul story. What you need, Paul shared his story three times in the book of Acts. And what Paul does is he does past, present, and future. What he does is, this is who I was, diligent Jewish leader, persecuting Christians. And then I came face to face with Jesus. And then he gave me a new mission for life. This is how I have lived differently because of my encounter with Jesus. So the Paul story has maybe three or four paragraphs where you got a little chance to talk, and it's a little bit more than the blind man story, but you're going to share the background of why you're a Christ follower and how Christ came into your life and the transformation in about three or four paragraphs. You need to think that through. Pastor Brian, when he sends out missions teams, he has everybody think through their story because you're going to have a divine appointment sometime in that missions trip. Airport, you know, when you get there with Christian workers, whoever it might be, you need to be ready to share your story. But the third story is very important also, and I call it the Job story. This is when somebody goes, what's going on with you? And you say to them, do you have time? And so let's go to lunch. And like my wife does, she has four-hour lunches quite often. And so basically, you sit down and nobody's in a hurry. And like the book of Job, you got 42 chapters to share with them the story of your journey. Basically, man, my life was a mess. Let me give you all the details. And then let me tell you my struggle and how to try to figure out God in all of this. And let me tell you how I came to know Jesus. And let me tell you what happened afterwards. And basically, there's no time limit to the Job story. So if you're ready to share your story, now here's the beautiful thing in the kingdom of Jesus. If you're ready to share your story, guess what? God gives opportunities to the workers that are ready. Okay, when I show up at a work day, and I came to a work day many times here at the church, and I got my belt, got my hammer, and they looked at me and go, all right, well, you're not going to be much good around here. We got all kinds of power tools we're going to be doing, and I didn't have the right tools, I didn't have the right knowledge. And so they would give me a broom, and I was happy. So it was okay. It's okay. I'm working on it. It's going to therapy, getting it figured out, but it's okay. But what I had to figure out on a work day is I had a role to play, and it wasn't going to be like anybody else. And I had to be ready with the right tools of what God would want me to do in that work day. And the same thing is true in his harvest. You have a story to tell. Are you ready to share it? The last thing I want you to know today is you are going to have to speak up somewhere along the line. You're going to have to speak up. And I want to tell you, it has to be about Jesus somewhere along the line. Because no matter how nice you can be to somebody and how kind you are and how thoughtful, and maybe you have a team of people and you're going to be kind and thoughtful, and that's all great. That's a good planting seed moment. So verse 40, the Samaritans come and they invite Jesus to stay 2 days, okay? Verse 41, many more believe because of his word. So one of our core values as a church, you're going to learn about it in the welcome class today, God's word in us changes us. So if you have opportunity, and you might not have opportunity every time, but somewhere along the line, it's a relationship with Jesus, and it's his word that's going to change your lives. It's not just hanging out and having pie in a life group. That's good. I enjoy that. But somewhere along the line, we need to get into his word, and we need to point people to Jesus. Verse 42, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So it's not just that they're hanging out with you, that's good, but somewhere along the line, they have to come to their own faith. So Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's not just a good Jewish rabbi, he's not just a Jewish prophet, he is the Savior. Did you catch this? Of all people? There isn't one person you're going to meet this week that has not been loved on by Jesus. He died on a cross for their sin. He wants to be their Savior. We have the privilege of pointing people to Jesus. That's why it is all about Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, if there needs to be a decision today, maybe someone in this room has thought just hanging out at church would be probably a good thing. And if there's someone in this room that realizes what they need more than anything is a relationship with Jesus, my prayer is they would come to you today. Not to come just to a church or an organization or to a group, but to come to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are my Savior. And Lord God, would you open our eyes as Christ followers? There's so much is going on around us. Lord God, could we just see what you see? Lord, would you show us people that we need to reach out to, plant seeds of hope and encouragement? Lord, would you help us prepare our story to tell? Lord, would you help us look differently at this week, that it would be about you this week? And I just am excited about seeing what's going to happen through this body of people that are fully committed to following you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.